everyone. My name is Kathleen Rowe. I'm the deacon for this month, and I'll be reading the scriptures. It's my privilege to read the scripture. In your pew Bible, you can find it on page 953, or you can follow along with the screen. The scripture comes from Luke 15, 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry, and he refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with friends. But when a son of yours came back who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" May God grant us understanding of this holy word.
This is perhaps the best known story in the Bible. Everybody knows the story of the prodigal son, even if they don't know what the word prodigal means. I had to look it up in the dictionary. Prodigal means wastefully or recklessly extravagant. Wastefully or recklessly extravagant. Now, the usual application of the word prodigal is to the younger son in the story, who demanded his share of the inheritance even before his father died, left home, and wasted it all in reckless living. But you know, the word prodigal could also apply to the father in the parable. The father gave his younger son his share of the inheritance while he was still alive. He had no legal obligation to do so. The older son thought that his father was wasteful and recklessly extravagant in giving a third of the family fortune to that spoiled brat of a younger brother. Even more, the father was prodigal when he welcomed the younger son back home with open arms and threw a lavish party to celebrate his homecoming. Well, some critics thought that Jesus was prodigal in telling this story. Tax collectors and other sinners were coming near to Jesus to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes were appalled that Jesus would allow them anywhere near him. They were further outraged that Jesus would socialize with such immoral outcasts. They grumbled, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." To righteous people, this was shocking behavior on the part of a rabbi who claimed to speak for God. As far as the Pharisees and scribes were concerned, Jesus was wastefully and recklessly extravagant in accepting such people. They expected Jesus to condemn the tax collectors and to condemn the other sinners and to demonstrate his disdain by sending them away, not sitting down and eating with them. And so we have a prodigal son and a prodigal father and a prodigal Jesus telling this story. It kind of reminds me of the motto coined by a former pastor of this church, Dr. Dan Ivins. Dan came up with the slogan, "We reserve the right to accept everybody." Well, Jesus reserved the right to accept everybody, even tax collectors and other sinners. Well, to understand how that motto applies to us today, we need to review the history of our church. Village Baptist Chapel was established as a mission congregation of another church here in Bowie, Bel Air Baptist Church, back in 1968. The visionary people of Bel Air bought a house on Pointer Ridge Drive and converted it into a church house. That's a photo of the house from the era. At first, most of the people who came were members of Bel Air. The first worship service was led by the Bel Air pastor, Reverend Richard Bracken, in November of 1968. A year later, in November of 1969, Village called its first full-time pastor, Dr. Kenneth Bradshaw. The congregation wasn't large enough back then to pay his full salary, so the salary is supplemented by funds from various sources: the Home Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, the State Mission Board of the Maryland Baptist Convention, and the First Baptist Church of Wiley, Texas. It was during 1969 that the congregation grew by adding members from the neighborhood and some members from another Baptist congregation in town who no longer felt welcome in their former church. Some of those refugees felt like outcasts in the eyes of their former pastor, and they sought a new church that would accept them rather than rejecting them. Well, they found that kind of accepting fellowship at Village. And although Dr. Bradshaw would serve Village for less than a year, he helped to integrate the newcomers into the fledgling congregation. In 1971, Maury Sweeten chaired the pulpit committee that recommended a new pastor, Reverend John Woodall. And after Reverend Woodall came as the second pastor, the congregation adopted a church covenant, a constitution and bylaws, and Village was constituted as an autonomous church. Altogether, there were 72 charter members, including the Bradshaw family, who had since moved to Texas. Two choirs were established, led by Martha Potter and Carol Woodall. Maury was elected as a deacon, along with Grayson Joyner, who also had been a refugee from the other church, and Hugh Litton. The following year, in 1972, Joan King started a Mother's Day Out program at Village. In June of 1973, Reverend Woodall resigned to become the pastor of a church in Columbia, Maryland. But Village kept going. A building fund was established, and a church annex was purchased down the street. And in February of 1974, Reverend Dan Ivins came as the third pastor. The following year, in 1975, This 4-acre property on Mitchellville Road was purchased from St. Edward's Catholic Church next door. In 1977, Gloria Newton became the church secretary, and a building committee was established in 1978, led by Grayson Joyner. That year, 1978, Joe Ryder was elected a deacon, the first female deacon of the church, as well as serving as the full-time church pianist. In 1979, mental health counselor Rose Schrott established the Family Enrichment Center in the village annex. The groundbreaking for this new building, I should say the building that was on this site, was in 1979, November. The last worship service at the church house on Pointer Ridge Drive was the first Sunday of 1980. And then after that, village met for 4 months at the South Bowie Community Center while this original church building was being built. There was a procession from the South Bowie Community Center just a block away to this property. You see the original building from 1980 on April 20th, and the dedication was held later in May. 1980 was also the year that Village joined the D.C. Baptist Convention. That's what it looked like back in 1980. After 10 years as pastor, Dr. Ivins resigned in April of 1984 to go to a church in Alabama. Once again, Maury Sweeten was chairman of the pastor search committee, and the interim pastor was Dr. James Dunn, who was then the executive director of the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty. I was called as the fourth pastor and began my service on January 1st, 1985. Later that year, Angela Sweeten was elected as a deacon. The next year, in 1986, we held our very first homecoming Sunday. We didn't have a fellowship hall back then. We didn't have a big kitchen. We used this little coffee room as our kitchen. Some of us ate outside on the lawn. Some of us ate in the back of the sanctuary back in 1986. In 1987, we added a west wing to the church building, which became our kind of de facto fellowship hall. We expanded the parking lot, added lights in 1989. And then in 1991, two of the former pastors came back for homecoming. Reverend Woodall gave the sermon, and Dr. Ivins was here for the lunch and an afternoon program. In 1992, we started a new contemporary early worship service on Sunday mornings, and in 1994, our homecoming preacher was again Dr. Dan Ivins. Well, things were going well. Oh, here's a shot of the congregation in 1997. Maybe some of you are in that picture. If you look closely, you might see yourselves there. That was the way the sanctuary looked back in 1997. It was this same space, but the ceiling was lower and different pews. Well, things were going well through the 90s. The church was growing until the second Saturday in January of 2000, when the church building burned. For the next two Sundays, we met for worship at the Pointer Ridge Fire Hall. And then we met for the next 34 months at the Bowie Alliance Church, just down the street, now known as Christ Community Church. During our almost 3 years of displacement without a building, we lost more members than we gained. By the time we entered our rebuilt church, oh, and there's a picture of the groundbreaking. It took another 2 years after that to build this building. By the time we re-entered this building in November of 2002, we were a smaller congregation than we'd been. In fact, that's the whole church right there, gathered out front there after the new building was built. We had rebuilt the church, but now it was time to rebuild the congregation. And that's where many of you have come in. If you've come since 2002, you are a part of our rebuilding effort. In the years since we occupied this new facility, our congregation has grown larger and much more diverse. And that was possible for two reasons. One, God was with us. And two, we reserve the right to accept everybody. And so here we are on Homecoming Sunday 2014. What can we learn from our history and from the parable of the prodigal son? Well, we can learn that everybody needs a home. Everybody needs a place to belong. The two sons in the parable had that kind of home with their father, but they didn't realize it. They were taking their home for granted. The younger son had to leave home and waste his inheritance before he recognized the home that he already had. And finally, he came to his senses and went back home apologizing to his father and admitting he'd been wrong. But instead of reprimanding the young man or rejecting him or sending him away, the father welcomed him home with open arms, even through an extravagant party to celebrate. Well, the older son did not leave home, but he too did not appreciate the home that he always had. The older son did not squander his inheritance in reckless living, but he squandered something even more precious. He squandered the love that his father had for him all along. He was so caught up in trying to show how good he was, trying to do all the right things, that he missed the welcome of his father's open arms that had been there all along. And so everybody needs a home, and everybody needs a place to belong. This church has been home to me and to Linda for almost 30 years. But for those six charter members, it's been home for 45 years. Everybody needs a home because we all need a place where we are loved and accepted for who we are, a place where we belong. Jesus reserved the right to accept everybody. Tax collectors, other sinners, younger brothers, older brothers. That doesn't mean that Jesus approved of everything that people did. Sometimes they broke his heart, but he never stopped loving them, and he never stops loving us. In a way, Jesus was the prodigal son. He left his home in heaven and came to the far country of earth to give his life in reckless extravagance. But his death was not a waste. It was a sign that our prodigal Father in heaven is waiting for us with open arms. So, whether you've been in this church for 45 years or you're here for the first time today, welcome home. Our Father, we thank you that we have a church home. We thank you that we have a home with you through our faith in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this Village Baptist congregation that has been a home for many of us for some time. We know that the welcome of Jesus extends to every person who would place their faith in him. And we know that although none of us are good enough, none of us can earn your love and blessing, none of us is perfect, that you love us and accept us for who we are, and that your grace can help us to become who you would have us to be. Thank you, O God, for the open arms of our loving Heavenly Father. Thank you for our prodigal son, Jesus, who so recklessly and extravagantly loved us that we are home with him. And thank you for this church home where we can unite together with brothers and sisters in Christ and celebrate the fellowship we have through our faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We would not close this service without offering you an opportunity to respond. It may be there's someone here who'd want to unite with this church, become a part of our church family. We receive members upon your profession of faith in Jesus, follow him as a believer in baptism. Or if you've previously been baptized on the basis of your faith, we would invite you to join by transfer of your membership or statement of your Christian experience. In either case, the invitation is to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 241, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.